time to get you updated on all things Jefferson College athletics from your favorite athletes, coaches, and staff.
Ultimate goal is, hey, we want to be playing our best baseball at the end of the season, and that's what it is, and it's part of the process. And but those are just some team goals that we have each year. Heck yeah, we want to go be playing at Grand Junction.
Everyone is really kind of all in now and understand what we need to do, and that's been a great momentum lift for us as we've moved this past week.
We have a lot of international players on the team, and once we come together as a team, it's just a fun experience. It's just amazing.
A win's a win in the book, so it doesn't really matter. We just go up from here for sure. See them again in regional and make sure we play much better.
We feel if we get 50 wins, then we're in a position to be playing to go to the national tournament.
I always tell her that the baseball team's the big dogs on campus, but she likes to think the softball team's a big dog on campus, so we get into that a little bit.
My roommates and I, well, specifically Taylor, we like Justin Bieber. We really like him, but D calls that our white girl music because we listen to that in the car and stuff, and if she has to ride with us, she's turn that off.
I can say I love Taco Bell. It changed my life. Yeah, I got better.
Yeah.
Now to your host for the Viking Voices Show, Will Cheshire.
Good afternoon. It's time for another weekly edition here of the Viking Voices Show on KJFF. Of course, last week we didn't have it, bids for bargains, but now we're back at it, and we're joined now by the head coach of the baseball team, Coach Pat Evers. And Coach Evers, you guys obviously have had a couple weekends in a row now. We're going on the road this last trip against Eastern Oklahoma State in Oklahoma. Just tell us a little bit about how that trip went.
Overall, it was kind of a solid trip. You know, we won two out of three games, and it was kind of nice, you know, getting out of the habit of splitting like we had a couple previous weekends. But, you know, as a whole, I think if we look at it, each weekend it's gotten a little bit better and a little bit crisper, and we've gotten better on the mound. And, you know, we had some guys kind of banged up with injuries and things like that. So it was kind of, you know, pretty close to getting everybody back and healthy and, you know, kind of times out perfect. We get to come home, open up at home this weekend and get ready for, you know, the region stuff starting off the following weekend.
Hey, yeah, Coach, you talk about some of those injuries. Obviously, Mantle missed a little bit of a weekend, and, of course, the sophomores coming in as well. So just how healthy are you guys? Everybody good to go now?
Everybody should be back and good to go. You know, Justin Dearden got in a little bit and was able to get some, you know, he just needs to get his kind of timing back at the plate offensively, and Ryan Mantle played a two out of the three games down there and still kind of split one of the doubleheaders, just taking it easy on him because he had some back spasms the week before. So, you know, as a whole, we're pretty healthy, and, you know, kind of keep your fingers crossed that happens the rest of the year.
And, Coach, how's the pitching staff been looking so far these first three weekends?
It's been good as a whole. There's been a couple innings, and there was one in the second game with Eastern Oklahoma that kind of got away from us, and one of the early ones with Dyersburg State kind of had a little bit of a big inning. But as a whole, outside of a couple innings, I think they've done a really good job. And, you know, the hardest part is for us just figuring out kind of who those guys are going to be in some of those roles out of the bullpen, just because we have so many freshman arms and young arms that, you know, don't have a ton of experience throwing out of the bullpen and kind of coming in those situations and, you know, things that you kind of take for granted, like, hey, knowing how to get warmed up in the bullpen and understanding, you know, just what that process is like. So, you know, each week we find out a little bit more. Heck, we're not going to have it all figured out probably for, you know, a few more weeks, and it's going to take kind of all year to just, hey, just make sure those guys are comfortable with it and you kind of find the right mix. But, you know, I think we love the depth that we have, and we have talented arms. It's just kind of figuring out which roles those guys are going to fit into.
Yeah, you know, obviously complimenting that defensively. I remember we were talking earlier in the year, a couple of the players as well, that defense thought that was going to be improved upon this season. Just how have you seen that so far in the early part of the year?
I think we've been real happy with it. The only thing that we're not happy, our pitchers can't seem to pick off the first base without throwing it down the right field line. So, but as a whole, defensively, it's been really good. And, you know, it's such a luxury to have that and not to sit there and hold your breath anytime you get a kind of a ground ball in the hole or, you know, turning a double play or any of those things. So, I mean, it's been a luxury to have that.
Almost that little John Lester effect, huh? Can't throw it to first base yet.
we can throw it. We throw it past first base right now. So, you know, it'll be fine. It's just some of those normal early season hiccups.
Yeah, Coach, how about offensively? I remember, you know, big thing was power, power, power the last couple of years for you guys hitting the long ball, but this year you thought the lineup be a little more balanced. Obviously, haven't been fully healthy yet, so you haven't exactly probably been able to complement that perfectly, but just what have you seen in the early part?
You know, as a whole, I think it's been fine. You know, obviously, I think we probably hoped we could come out a little bit hotter than what we have, and, you know, there's a couple of guys that really kind of haven't gotten it going offensively yet. Logan Anderson, Jordan Hovey, a couple of guys that you're going to count on to be kind of, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 hitters for you that just have gotten off to a little bit of slower start. But, you know, that'll be fine. Those guys will hit. They've got track records. They've done it at the Division I level before. So I don't think we really necessarily worry about that. I think the big thing is just keep playing and getting guys at bats and, you know, a couple bright spots early. Anthony Green's been done very well, and also Peyton Faulkner, who's kind of found his home there at the top of the order for us, has been a couple of the highlights so far on the offensive side of it.
Awesome. And now, Coach, turning the attention this weekend, finally back at home. You know, we joked previously about how you could have been at home the last couple of weekends with the weather, but now you'll finally get it this weekend. And for the most part, looks like going to be sunny skies, and it'll gradually increase as well, so it'll be nice to get back out on the home diamond.
Yeah, it should be a good weekend, and it's nice not to have to get in a bus and, you know, sit somewhere for 8 hours and check in the hotel, and it's nice being able to sleep in your own bed and get up and kind of go through a normal routine. It's a home game, and, you know, I have to just give a hard time to Coach McVay, athletic director, make sure I get our water turned on before the weekend. So, but everything's been going really good.
Yeah, make sure that grass is green out there, right?
Yeah. But hey, I mean, it's a luxury to have it. You know, 70 degree weather in, you know, February. So it's going good.
Yeah. You take the losses, roll the punches, right?
Yeah.
Coach, going up against Joliet Junior College this weekend, a 4-game series. You'll play 1 9-inning on Friday, a doubleheader Saturday, and then a 9-inning again on Sunday. Just how familiar are you with Joliet?
They've come down each of the last, I think, 3 years now. So, you know, it's good. It's a well-coached team. You know, I think we should be in a spot where we're a little bit more talented than them. But one thing we've always – those guys always play hard. They'll give you their best effort, and they're well-coached, and they'll be prepared. And just like anything else, I mean, you got to come out there and ready to handle your business, and you got to be ready to go this weekend.
And, Coach, I want to go back to the pitching staff a little bit and talk about some of the starters. You know, they're getting their arms going, Cody Creed, Spencer Juergens, among others. Just what have you seen specifically from them, and more specifically, I should say, the sophomores from their freshman year to now their sophomore year? Did you see any big jumps in improvement that you may have noticed in the offseason?
I think Cody Creed's someone that's really kind of made a jump and done real well. You know, I think, you know, Troy Newell, Spencer Juergens, say they've, you know, we're both guys as freshmen that pitched a significant amount of innings. Cody's kind of someone that kind of followed more of a traditional path where he kind of threw in a little bit of every role last year and, you know, had his ups and downs and a talented arm, but just kind of the adjustment of going from high school baseball to college baseball and just some of the mistakes you make go a little bit further and the mistakes you make get exposed. So he's been honestly a super bright spot for us, and it's done very well each start he's had each weekend. So you know, part of it is just the adjustment, just understanding, just commanding each of your pitches and just how important it is to throw multiple pitches for a strike. It gets to the point where, hey, you know, you're not going to, you know, it's 86, 88, 89, you know, 90, you're not going to throw the ball by him every single time. So part of it is just commanding the fastball and being able to change speeds and throw multiple pitches for a strike.
Yeah, well, he said on the show a couple of weeks ago that was going to be his biggest focus in the offseason, so it sounds like that's going according to plan. How about base running-wise on the base pass? What have you guys seen there? Has that been pretty crisp and smooth, or little improvements needed?
Oh, probably improvements are needed, just like anything else early. I think it's part of it, just those guys getting their legs underneath them and just remembering, hey, ball in the gap, this is how it's going, and just, you know, just like anything else, just sitting around for 4 months, you haven't played in a game, and, you know, the more you play, the guys get more familiar with it, and so, I mean, it's fine. I think it's been normal stuff early where, hey, you might have a little hiccup here in a spot where you could tag, and now, you know, guys don't advance maybe first or third on ball they should, or maybe they get a little bit overly aggressive. So, you know, the only thing we talk about, hey, make aggressive mistakes out there, and, you know, we'll be fine with that.
Yeah, and Coach, can you go into a little more detail about the base running thing? Because for those that may not know, you know, baseball speed, obviously, great asset. But if you don't know how to run the bases correctly, sometimes the speed doesn't necessarily matter. So kind of what goes into the mind of a base runner, what they're looking for, and things like that.
Oh, I think a lot of stuff is just instinctually just understanding the game as far as, hey, you know, runs that you're up, how the outfielders throw, what are the situations, hey, you know, how the right fielder throws, whether you can go first or third on a base hit to right field. You know, I think some of the dirt ball reads that we have as far as balls in third and guys anticipating that and advances to second, I mean, it's so advantageous to be able to put pressure on the defense and be able to move up 90 feet at a time. And those little things that don't seem to amount as much, whether it's you know, advancing on a ball in dirt or you know, going first or third or, you know, tagging up on a ball to right in the outfield or something like that. Just advancing 90 feet, anything can happen. And you know, you avoid double play situations. You get that much closer to scoring. I think we had it. It was a real good example, and I think the first game against Eastern Oklahoma that we won, I don't know how many. I think we only had maybe four RBIs. I think we scored 8 or 9 runs in a lot of the situations where, hey, we were able to take advantage of ball and third, move up 90 feet, and the next thing you know, hey, a ground ball to second base, you're scoring a run, or you know, anything you can do to advance guys and get them in scoring position is, you know, in a one-run game, close game against definitely against good competition is extremely valuable.
Yeah, absolutely makes the difference. Coach, I want to go back talk about the ballpark a little bit, the field going on, because obviously guys going to be playing at home, an opportunity for some people to come out and watch you guys play. And also we talked about this briefly in the offseason, but there was some upgrades made to the field as well, particularly in the seats.
Yeah, yeah. As part of the, you know, capital project that we had here with our strategic planning process, we were able to propose and you know, obviously was able to get approved new bleachers, which, you know, really were part of a little bit of a safety issue and obviously something that just needed to be updated over, I think, the previous bleachers were there for about 15, 20 years and didn't meet the same kind of safety requirements. So it's really been nice with that was added in there. I think it's about a little over 200 permanent seats with chair backs, and it's really going to be a really nice thing to add. And that's some of the color that's added to the ballpark. And, you know, just from a spectator standpoint, improvement and experience and doubling that with the back stuff that got done last year. You know, the renovations and the things that have been done, the little improvements, have really made a huge difference.
Yeah, already complimenting a nice baseball field, no doubt about that. And, Coach, also for those listening might be interested, you know, something to do this weekend, come on out to a game. What type of baseball can they expect from Jefferson College?
Hopefully winning baseball. So, you know, I think obviously our guys will go out there and play hard and give their best effort. And it's been a talented group, and, you know, it should be some beautiful weather. So hopefully have a bunch of people out there and hopefully see 4 wins this weekend.
Awesome. And Coach, just last couple questions for you here with Joliet coming up. What types of things are you looking for your ball club in order to come away with perhaps a 4-game sweep?
Just normal cliches of just playing better each game and getting better every time out there. So, but it really is, you know, just as many young guys that we keep running out there. I mean, you just hope to see continued improvement, and those guys get better each time out, and there'll be hiccups along the way. But you know, we're really excited about going out there and playing 4 games against, you know, playing just that many innings, and really going to be valuable for us.
Awesome. All right. Hey, Coach Evers, as always, we appreciate you taking some time out of your afternoon to come on the radio, talk with us, and share a little Jefferson College baseball love.
Sounds good. Thanks, Will.
Head coach of the Jefferson College baseball program, Coach Pat Evers, joining us here on 1400 KJFF on the Viking Voices show. We go from one diamond to the other. Softball coming up next here on KJF on the Viking Voices show. We'll hear from the head coach, Tony Cook. That's coming your way next. Welcome back into the Viking Voices show here on 1400 KJFF. As mentioned before the break, we go from one diamond to the other. Time for a little Jefferson College softball conversation. Joined now by the head coach, Coach Tony Cook. And Coach, you guys come away with a couple of doubleheaders this past weekend. You had Kaskaskia on Friday and then John A. Logan on Sunday. As a whole, you guys take 3 of 4. Just thoughts after a couple of days to reflect on the weekend of softball.
You know, after looking at stats and stuff and reviewing the book, you know, it really wasn't that bad with, you know, of display of what we did. You know, we were a little disappointed in that last game against John A. Logan again. You know, the first time we faced the lefty this year. And but, you know, she cuffed us pretty good, and we struggled with it. And, you know, I think we chased pitches. We were defensive hitters. We, instead of being aggressive like normally we are, we became defensive hitters and was chasing pitches that she was throwing at us. And so we got to do a better job with that. We got to be more aggressive at the plate and jump on, you know, the pitcher's mistakes and not being, you know, chasing things away.
Yeah, talking about a left-hander on the team or amongst the coaches, is there a lefty there that can kind of help simulate that?
No,
that,
you know, now next year we got one.
There it is.
But we don't have a lefty this year, and you know, it's one of those things where, you know, a little different spin, a little different look from the mound, and so you know, in the circle. You know, it's one of those things we just got to work on and figure out something. You know, we just got to make adjustments.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure next time you see it around, it gets more and more comfortable to the hitter's eyes.
And we will. We'll see her again on March 8th. So, you know, we'll be prepared for better next time around.
Oh, you got that already circled on the calendar.
It's already checked.
Awesome. Hey, Coach, you guys back at it. You had a couple days of practice. Did you guys get out there on the diamond today?
We did. We're out there right now. Speaking of, you know, they're out there hitting, taking BP right now. And hopefully that'll reflect on our game tomorrow.
Yeah, of course, that game tomorrow, doubleheader against Mineral Area College. We'll have that not only right here on KJFF, but also be simulcasted down in the St. Francis County area as well. If you're traveling south, it'll be on AM 800 KREI. And as always, you can always listen in wherever with the internet. That's the beautiful day and age of the 21st century. So you can tune in online at MIMOinfo.com as well. Well, both games of that doubleheader. And Coach Cook, just what do you know about Mac this year?
You know, Gimmer's got a good group this year. We saw him down in Mississippi. We were able to scout him, and he's got a scrappy bunch. They can hit the ball pretty well, and they play sound defense, and that's what we saw down there. So we're going to have to, really put some pressure on our defense, see if we can make them make some miscues, and then we got to find the holes when we hit the ball, and that's one of the things we got to do. And if it's windy like it is today, then we got to try to not so much go for the long ball, but we just got to put it in play and go with the pitch how they throw it to us, and so. But we're going to be aggressive with them tomorrow. We're going to push. We're going to try to put as much pressure as we can on them and see what we can do.
Yeah, and part of that, Coach, just what have you seen for the Mac pitchers as well this year?
What we've mostly saw them is, their velocity's pretty much a lot of them is the same. And so it's, if they do make a change, it's going to be, we don't think we'll see a much difference from one to another. They may have different spins and things like that, but the velocity of what we saw, of each pitcher we saw, as we were scouting, we didn't see much difference in their velocity. So we've been working on that, timing it down, and so hopefully we can get that tomorrow. And Max, they bring a good crowd with them. We expect a large group tomorrow following with them, and so it should be a nice turnout tomorrow. And hopefully we'll get two W's. We never know.
Yeah, it should be a nice turnout, definitely, because you got Mac coming from the south. You guys up here, supposed to be some sunny weather. Temperatures in the mid 50s, I believe. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be some good stuff, but. Coach, I want to ask you about Shelby Clark as well, because Shelby Clark has had a little bit of struggles to start the year. Just what do you think that she needs to kind of settle back into to get into that kind of dominant force she was last year?
What we realized, we videotaped her the last time John A. Logan was here, and we videotaped it, and so we watched it. And what we noticed with her is her back hip is closing earlier before she's getting her hand through the ball, and what's happening is her arm's coming around, so she's losing that, that spin of the ball because she's bringing her arm around her body. And so we worked on it yesterday and today, and we think we got it corrected. We're keeping her open longer to get the arm come through, and then the hip's coming back on the backside. And so with that, now she's getting her spins through. And, her rise ball today looked really good. That's the old Shelby Clark we know. And so we just got to work, just had to fine-tune some things over the pitching. And, sometimes the cold weather can do that. Sometimes, we're still conditioning and lifting, and sometimes – the body's sore, so sometimes one thing gets behind the other, and so we worked on our mechanics a little bit, and we think we got straightened out though.
Yeah, absolutely. We all know Shelby Clark's got the talent. What a terrific arm that showcased last year too. But how about offensively? Want to talk a little bit more about some of the girls that have really stepped up for you guys this year? I remember you saying after the first weekend that Ostoff came in and had a great week, and you're like, I got to find a way to get her in the lineup. I don't know what it is, but I got to get her in there. And had her playing second base in the outfield as well. So just what have you seen from Ostoff's at bats that have made her so productive?
What we thought we would see out of her and what we're seeing is she's really aggressive. She's jumping on that first pitch. She's not letting pitchers dictate how they're going to command at the plate. And so she's been really, going with the outside pitch or the inside pitch. And so with that, she's, currently right now I think she's hitting like .485. And, she's number one in the team in RBI. So, we said this to this club all along, if you're hitting, we're going to have to find a spot for you. And sure enough with her, we put her at second base. And more likely she'll be there tomorrow because, if you're hitting, we'll find a place.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And the baseball, softball, you got to be out there on the diamond slapping it around. Offense. Coach, also freshman this year, but also doing a great job from the left side of the plate, providing you guys with a little bit of balance, is Kelsey Gomerick out there.
Kelsey's somebody that's really come on since last year. She was hovering around 330, 340 this last year. She's hitting right at 550 this year. She was up there 561. She dropped a little bit after the weekend, but she's still showing some power. She's hitting a lot of doubles for us, and that strong left side hitter is what you'd like to see in your lineup. Especially, we bumped her up from the 4-3 to try to boost up the RBIs, and I think it did a little bit on the game, the first game against Donnie Logan. So we're hoping to see more production out of that with her there in the third hole now. So we'll leave her there tomorrow and see what happens.
Hey, Coach, I want to ask you about the outfield defense as well as a whole. Just what have you seen from them?
Outfield's been steady for us all year long, and I thought it was a strong point. But then again, Saturday we had a few miscues out there, and I think it's because, they try so hard, and they try to make every play and every catch, and sometimes they get out of position trying to be so aggressive with things. And so we talked about that, and, they got to memorize you know, where they're at on the field. And remember that, you know, they can't maybe sometimes you got to give up and give the single and not try to, you know, die for a ball and give up the double out of it. You know, and that's what happened to Gamerica on the one play. You know, she got over-aggressive. Instead of being defensively and letting it be a single, she let it get by her and got for a double. And then, you know, Marco got confused by the fence back there and ended up jumping too early, and she still had some room to go. And so we worked on things like that. But, you know, I still think our outfield's a good one, and I trust them immensely. And, you know, before it's all over, they're going to carry this team because they're the heart and soul of this team, I think.
Yeah, and speaking of Libby, obviously her and Taylor Dames at the top of that order kind of help set the stage. So just talk about how important they are when they do get on base, because it seems like when they get in base too, they're aggressive on the base pass.
They are, and you know, we've got some signs for, you know, to get them running. And you know, we were trying that. You know, unfortunately, we got caught. You know, Taylor Dames got caught leaving early against the John A. Logan, but we're still going to do that. You know, we teach this group to you know, time themselves to get the best jump they can get off the base pass and get that stolen base, because you know, catchers are getting better and better all the time, so you got to try to, you know, time it just perfect. And you know, sometimes with that, you know, they will leave early, you know, and if he does, you know, we get caught. But you know, the biggest thing is we've got to time it down to where we can almost, you know, make it's got to be perfect to get that extra, you know, 1/4 of a second or whatever it may be to get us to, you know, to steal that base, because we're going to try to steal bases. We're going to be aggressive. We're going to do a lot of hit and running like we've been to. You know, we're not going back down from that, whoever we play. And so you know, that's the I think that's the character of this team is, you know, we're going to try to run the base pass and we're going to try to hit the ball.
Yeah, Coach, I want to go back to that play as well with the Dames way back, and I think it was the first inning of it with Gamerica, because she hits that ball into the left center field gap. Now, I understand why she was out, because she left early, but I want to know what goes into determining what base Gamerica gets on that.
What the rule of it's considered a ball. So she had three balls on her when she was in the bat box, all right? So the runner's out, the hitter gets the ball to her count, so she had ball four. That's why she got first base. So if she only had two balls against her, one strike or where it may have been, then it would have been ball three, and she still would have had to be in the batter's box because it's a dead ball, and then it's a ball against the hitter. And so it's how. So on that play there, we lost the double. Gamerica goes to first because it ends up being a walk, and Taylor Dames gets out, so we lose the run. So almost a heartbreaker for us. It could have been a, you know, inning killer. Instead, Elaine Olestoff came through with a three-run homer in it and brought us right back to it. So, you know, and that's what, again, you know, you hate to, you know, fall back to some of those players, but they've been very reliable for us this year. She stepped up when we needed it.
That was an absolute missile, too, straight away center field. That was a screaming line drive over the fence. Coach, also want to ask you about your freshman pitcher, Michaela Sennett, because she has kind of really looked really good at the start of this year. She pitched, obviously came in, runner on second base, nobody out in that first game against John A. Logan, slammed the door, struck out two or three hitters. And then I thought, you know, minus a couple two miscues on the home runs against John A. Logan that second game, I thought she had a nice start.
She did. You know, she's been really solid since she, you know, since coming back from Mississippi. I thought she pitched really well down there. She's another one that we had to work on her mechanics a little bit, and we fine-tuned it. And, you know, I think right now she's starting to find out where she, you know, how her pitching style works best for her. And, you know, right now I think she's, you know, starting to peak out again, and we like the way she's throwing the ball right now. And, you know, we're working on getting her velocity back at where it used to be. And, you know, hopefully tomorrow she'll get some good innings in and work on her mechanics some more. And I think, you know, a little bit here and there, you know, in the next couple of weeks you'll start seeing, you know, the Michaela Sennett that was old to what we saw in the fall that was really impressive.
Yeah, talk about what her performance in the fall.
You know, she pitched against a lot of Division I schools, you know, up at Mizzou and then Southeast Missouri and SIUE. And, you know, a lot of those games were close games. You know, we split with SIUE. They got us 2-1. We beat them 3-2. You know, SLU, she only lost 1-0. You know, SEMO, we lost 4-3. Mizzou was a very good game. It was 0-0 to the fifth inning, and then we made a pitching change. So, you know, she had them shut down. So she can pitch. We know that. And we know, you know, we just got to get her where she can go extended period of time in the on the mound, and then you know, on top of that, just work on her locations, because you know, she, you know, the two bad pitches she made on the rise balls is the ones that took out the park, and so we're working on that, you know, getting the spins on the rise so she can get up in the zone a little higher.
Yeah, let's talk about the importance of the pitching in the circle as well on a team, because in softball, especially if you have that pitching staff that's really dominant up there, that can really win you a lot of ball games.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and you just look at some of the clubs we're going to play this year, and you know, if you, all you, you if you got one dominant pitcher and you got two or three that can, you know, come out there and give you some good innings, you know, you're going to have a good staff. And, you know, we feel we got two or three can do the same thing. You know, I think Taylor Norwald, I think Shelby Clark, and I think Michaela Sint make a really good 1-2-3 punch. And then you can put any three in any kind of rotation or combination you like. But, and then, you know, with Nikki Peters and Sarah Berry and then Kate O'Day, you know, between the six, we're going to have find a matchup and sometime during the season where they're going to really help us out. And that's what really counts is how to find that right matchup against the opponents we're going to play. You know, especially getting ready to get in this conference and regional play, which is, to me is so important because that's what this, you know, first 10 days of the season's been. You know, those first 14 games we've got in is getting us prepared and ready for our conference and our region. You know, that's where we want to make the, you know, the statement that, you know, Jefferson is going to be the number one team. And we want everybody to we want them to be looking at us. We don't want to be looking to, you know, to try to beat somebody else. You know, we want that target on us. And we like it. We like the pressure. And we want that to happen. And we want that with our pitching staff to know that they got to come in and shut the door.
Absolutely. And, Coach, you guys play tomorrow. Once again, we already talked about Mac a little bit for that doubleheader. But what about you guys yourselves? What types of things are you going to have to do out there on the softball diamond in order to come away with the doubleheader sweep?
You know, biggest thing we got to do is we got to play sound defense. You know, we can't make silly mistakes. And hopefully we can get out there and, you know, hit the ball and make adjustments to the pitching. And, you know, if the wind's blowing in, we're going to have to make some big adjustments and try not to drive the ball out of the park, but, you know, go with the pitch and put it in play. And, you know, we put pressure on them, and then, you know, we think, you know, good things can happen for us. And, you know, when we get on the base pass, we got to be aggressive and be aggressive early. And if we can do, then we can score some runs.
Yeah, and, Coach, you guys have the weekend off, don't you?
We do this year.
Yeah, what's that going to be like?
It's unusual. You know, and usually we play every weekend from, you know, March, April, and first part of May. And this weekend we're off, which, you know, it was scheduled that way so we can kind of evaluate what we've done for the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season. And then, you know, we got Kankakee on Monday. And then that's another team, you know, they were national runner-ups last year, and then they were national champs the year before that. So a very good team coming in here. And so we'll prepare for them Sunday and then get ready for that game Monday. And then we start, you know, we got one more tournament down in Joplin, Missouri. Crowder puts on a tournament down there that we're going to go down there and play a lot of Oklahoma schools and Kansas schools. And so we'll round that trip up and then get into the heart of our conference and regional play.
Awesome. Looking forward to it as always. Hey, Coach Cook, thanks for coming on and then speaking with us.
Appreciate it. Well, thanks for coverage.
That's the head coach of the Jefferson College softball team, Coach Tony Cook, joining us here on the Viking Voices show. We're going to go ahead, take another timeout, and recap the Jefferson College women's basketball season with head coach Steve Jarvis. That's coming your way next. Welcome back in here to the Viking Voices show here on KJFF, your home for Jefferson College athletics. We're joined now by the head coach of the Jefferson College women's basketball team, Coach Steve Jarvis, as we get set to kind of recap their season after it came to an end in the first round of the Region 16 tournament to Crowder last night. And Coach Jarvis, you guys finished the year out as a whole, kind of a little bit of an up and down season for you guys. Let's just kind of talk about your thoughts on how it went.
Yeah, that was, the consistency was our issue, you know, from game to game, sometimes from quarter to quarter in the games, the consistency. You know, we had a lot of games that we were in, I thought we competed in and had chances to win it, but didn't make the stretch run. At some point, it wasn't the same all the way through. Sometimes we got started off strong and didn't finish, and sometimes we got in a hole early and finished strong, but just didn't have enough at the end. So, you know, it's a little frustrating when you have some really big wins like we had against Northwest Mississippi and then at Iowa Western and couldn't get it done in the region.
Yeah, yeah, the big road win at Iowa Western, of course, coming in recently. But, Coach, I want to talk about kind of the development of some of your players as well. In your eyes, who did you see personally that kind of made some of the biggest strides for the beginning of the year to where they went to the end?
Well, I think we are in an interior play with Janae Randall and Dominique Jennings. You know, we were pretty consistent with that. Part of the problem we had was keeping them on the court because of foul trouble, but the production that we got out of them, one or the other, most nights was pretty dominating. So I think both of those players, you know, kind of came on as the season progressed. Janae got a lot more aggressive than she was last year. So that was a good sign. I think Tanner Bencomo was one that really, you know, we had a little bit different plan at the beginning of the year of how we were going to utilize her, and trying to give a couple other players a chance to kind of come in and fill some voids that we needed, and we knew what Tanner could bring us, but you know, Tanner really stabilized us, and as the year progressed, you know, played a lot of minutes in most games and was able to handle the ball. You know, Lex, you know, probably the last 3 weeks, 2.5 weeks of the season, she had kind of a nagging injury, so Tanner had to pick up the load handling the ball a lot more, and you know, I thought Tanner did a really, really good job for us.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And then defensively as well, I thought she did well at the perimeter defense, as well as Collie and D. McGinnis and right. Triplett off the bench. And I want to talk a little bit about Shannon Triplett as well, as she's a freshman and one of the key returners to next year. She'll be the leading scorer to return. She kind of came out and made her presence known early on.
Right. You know, it was somewhat of an adjustment, you know, to the high school game, to the college game. And you know, our objective with her was try to make her a more complete player as the season progressed and not just a scorer. And, you know, we worked on that a lot. And she actually, we kind of changed up the lineups a little bit yesterday, and she started for us last night and did produce in the, offensively and had 12 points. And but she needs to continue to work to try to get more explosive and work defensively in our scheme and try to understand that a little bit more. But we're anxious to what her offseason brings and how we can, you know, get her a little physically, a little more, a little stronger and kind of go from there. But, you know, we're excited about what she brings back for us for next year.
And another player that I thought showed some signs of some really productive play on the front court side of the things was Izzy Ringling. Of course, yeah. She had to be a little bit careful, particularly in the beginning of the year coming off of that knee injury. But just what type of things did you see from her?
Yeah, I think Izzy did a really good job for us. There was several games that she gave us really good minutes. Actually, last night's game was one of those. Janae and Dominique were both in foul trouble early, and Izzy gave us some really good minutes in the second quarter and third quarter. You know, I think she got a little more aggressive rebounding. She ended up leading us with rebounds. I think it was 13 or so rebounds that she got last night. So, again, our plan with her is try to get her stronger and get her more confident in her knee and that she can do the things that she used to be able to do. You know, we just continue her footwork inside is pretty good. We just want to try to get her to be more explosive at the basket when she makes that move. And, you know, I think she's a really coachable kid and understands what we're trying to do. So that's a plus as we go from there.
Yeah, and another freshman that had an injury herself that had to deal with, that missed a good chunk of the year as well, but a person that you think could be real helpful going forward, Taylor Williams. I remember you saying at the very beginning of the year that she could very well be the best shooter on the team. Just what did you see from her down the stretch? Because obviously tough for her to come in halfway through the year.
Yeah, I think it was tough. She never did really feel right, I think, coming off of that. And, you know, you could kind of tell she was a little bit tentative at times about what she was trying to do and lost her confidence a little bit shooting the ball because of that. But, you know, again, she's a very coachable kid and understands our concepts that we're trying to do and is always in the right place. And defensively, I thought kind of stepped it up and got a little bit better defensively as the year went along. So, you know, she's one that again, it's that first year of adjustment. Hopefully that experience comes back. And if we can get her completely healthy, you know, that's another threat that we bring back.
Absolutely. And then, Coach, let's switch gears a little bit. Talk about some of those sophomores that will be graduating from the program. Some stuck around for the 2 years, a couple transfers coming in. Just do we have any idea what their futures might hold?
Yeah, they're still all up in the air. They all have some interest. You know, I still had a few emails today about a couple of them. And, you know, they're kind of weighing their options at this point. You know, the conversation that we had with all them last night was to make sure that you know, we don't lose focus in the classroom and get stuff taken care of so that it keeps our options open of what they can do. And they're all on target to graduate. So, you know, we've got some that need to take some summer courses to make that happen. But everybody's got that plan in place and we've got them prepared to do that. So, you know, there's going to be options for them. Again, we'll next couple weeks keep working on that and hopefully that, you know, those things come together here pretty quick.
Awesome. And then it's my understanding as well that you guys kind of hold a little bit of like player one-on-one type meetings right. with each player too.
Right. We'll have a team meeting probably next week, and then we'll start individual meetings. And at that point, that's when we put a plan together of, you know, what they need to do to come back and be prepared. And then also, you know, as we meet together with sophomores, kind of the game plan of where we are with their placement for next year and how we move forward with that. But another player that I just mentioned a little bit about is Irene Perez. Irene, you know, she tore ACL, you know, midseason. She was really starting to come along and be productive for us. And I think that was a loss for us going down the stretch because she was starting to get some key minutes. She had some really good minutes in our Northwest Mississippi win. She just really understands the game. You know, I think she has to, again, work on recovering from that knee injury, but coming back in even better shape and understanding, you know, the physicality of the game here and that sort of thing. But we're anxious to what she can do next year, too.
And, Coach, before we conclude things up here, just kind of final thoughts on the regular season of the 2016-17 team and thoughts on next year.
Well, unfortunately, it's a little disappointing. We felt like that we had the players together to kind of get over the hump and really compete in the region. And, you know, I think a lot of the other coaches felt that way, too, that we really were in just about every game that we played in the region and had our chances. And even early on pre-region game in first semester, we probably had a handful of games that we had our shot. So that's a little bit disappointment. But the good thing about it is the kids never gave up. They kept playing hard. They gave their best effort. So, you know, you got to be proud of them from that standpoint. And as we move forward, we've got a lot of spots to fill and we got a lot of players to bring in. We've got a good start with that. So hopefully in the next few weeks, we'll be able to announce some commitments and keep the thing rolling and try to get over the hump.
Coach Jarvis, looking forward to it and seeing what that future kind of unfolds like for the basketball program here at Jefferson College. So thanks very much for taking some time out of your afternoon to speak with us here at the Viking Voices Show.
Great, Will. Thank you.
That's the head coach of the Jefferson College women's basketball program, Coach Steve Jarvis, joining us here on the Viking Voices Show. And that's going to conclude this edition. Of course, you can hear it back on MIMOinfo.com if you missed it or tuned in late. Madeline Gilbert going to have your news coming across the 5 p.m. hour. And just remember, Jeffco, Mac Softball coming your way tomorrow afternoon beginning at 2 p.m.